Our Father in heaven, we come to you in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to gather together. Thank you for your love that you have shown to us through Jesus, for coming and making a way for us to know you as our Father. Just pray you would bless our time here as we look into your word, that you would continue to bless us and guide us, and that we could learn of you. Just pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Greet you all in Jesus' name. It is a blessing to be together again. Appreciated the study on the armor of God. You can turn to John chapter 1. And the verse that stood out to me here was where it says, verse 14, tells us how Jesus came and he was full of grace and truth. And I'd like to look this morning how grace and truth came through Jesus. And we would like to look at how people accepted it and also rejected it, and also look at how Jesus said his word will judge us at the last day. So we'll begin reading in John 1, verse 1. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And it seems here, as you read on, it becomes clear that the Word it's talking about, the Word is Jesus, how he was with God. And the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. This man came for a witness, to bear witness of the light, that all through him might believe. He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through him, and the world did not know him. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, that to those who believe, to become children of God, to those who believe in his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John bore witness of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, he who comes after me is preferred before me, for he was before me. And of his fullness we have all received, and grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. No one has seen God at any time. The only begotten Son, who is in the bosom of the Father, he has declared him. Now this is the testimony of John, when the Jews sent priests and Levites from Jerusalem to ask him, 'Who are you?' He confessed and did not deny, but confessed, 'I am not the Christ.' And they asked him, 'What then? Are you Elijah?' He said, 'I am not.' 'Are you the prophet?' And he answered, 'No.' Then they said to him, 'Who are you, that we may give an answer to those who send us? What do you say about yourself?' He said, 'I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness, make straight the way of the Lord, as the prophet Isaiah said.' Now those who were sent were from the Pharisees, and they asked him, saying, Why then do you baptize if you are not the Christ, nor Elijah, nor the prophet? John answered them, saying, I baptize with water, but there stands one among you whom you do not know. It is he who, coming after me, is preferred before me, whose sandal strap I am not worthy to loose. These things were done in Bethabara beyond the Jordan, where John was baptizing. The next day John saw Jesus coming toward him and said, Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. This is he of whom I said, After me comes a man who is preferred before me, for he was before me. I did not know him, but that he should be revealed to Israel. Therefore I came baptizing with water. And John bore witness, saying, I saw the Spirit descending from heaven like a dove, and he remained upon him. I did not know him, but he who sent me to baptize with water said to me, Upon whom you see the Spirit descending and remaining on him, this is he who baptizes with the Holy Spirit. And I have seen and testified that this is the Son of God. So here we have John writing down how it was when Jesus came. Thank you. And it says there in verse 14 how Jesus was full of grace and truth. He was full of grace and truth. Not just a little bit of grace and truth. He was full. He was overflowing with grace and truth. And it says how in verse 17, For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. And it just, there's so many things. Like if you look at what all he records about Jesus, what he calls him, you know, the Word of God. He says how he was with God and he came down to us. He calls him the light. Life. He's talking about light and life and the Word of God. And so we have Jesus as this true light. And it says he came into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him, and the world did not know him. So we have Jesus being with God. He was there when they created the world, when they created man. And he comes down to this earth, and this creation doesn't know him. He's a stranger to them. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, to those who believe in his name. And we're going to go on to look how people missed him. How could they miss him? How could they miss this person, the greatest person who ever walked on the earth? He was right there. He was right before them. He was full of grace and truth. He was full of life. He was a light in the darkness. And yet, there were people who missed him. He was full of grace. The free, unmerited love and favor of God. The spring and source of all the benefits men receive from him. He was that love. Tremendous love. He was truth. He was the Word of God. You can turn back to chapter 8. John chapter 8. And I would like to read this just for an example of the grace and the truth that we see that Jesus was bringing. It was such a contrast to what people were used to, what they were used to in the law. John chapter 8. Begin in verse 3. Then the scribes and the Pharisees brought to him, to Jesus, that is, a woman caught in adultery. And when they had set her in the midst, they said to him, "Teacher, this woman was caught in adultery in the very act. Now Moses in the law commanded us that such should be stoned. But what do you say?" This they said, testing him, that they might have something of which to accuse him. But Jesus stooped down and wrote on the ground with his finger, as though he did not hear. So when they continued asking him, he raised himself up and said to them, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And again he stooped down and wrote on the ground. Then those who heard it, being convicted by their conscience, went out one by one, beginning with the oldest even to the last. And Jesus was left alone, and the woman standing in the midst. When Jesus had raised himself up and saw no one but the woman, he said to her, "Woman, where are those accusers of yours? Has no one condemned you?" She said, "No one, Lord." And Jesus said to her, "Neither do I condemn you. Go and sin no more." Then Jesus spoke to them again, saying, "I am the light of the world. He who follows me shall not walk in darkness, but have the light of life." So Jesus, full of grace and truth, here was a woman who was in sin. And they brought her to Jesus and they said, "The law says she needs to die." And we see Jesus here bringing truth, bringing his truth. So what did he say? He said, "He who is without sin among you, let him throw a stone at her first." And what he did was he helped them to see and understand that all of them had sinned. All are sinful before God. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. It was the truth that Jesus brought. And then the gracious words of, "Neither do I condemn you, go and sin no more." Jesus didn't come to destroy people, but he came so that they could be saved. He wanted her to go, to repent from this way of sin, and to go on not living in sin. "Go and sin no more," he said. Jesus, full of grace and truth. Now if you go back to chapter 3, the question for us, the question for me, is, are we accepting or rejecting the grace and truth that Jesus brings? Am I accepting or rejecting the grace and truth that Jesus brings? Here in chapter 3, we have Jesus just clearly telling Nicodemus. It's such a clear words of salvation. Verse 1. "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him. Jesus answered and said to him, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus said to him, How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, Most assuredly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Do not marvel that I said to you, you must be born again. The wind blows where it wishes, and you hear the sound of it, but cannot tell where it comes from and where it goes. So is everyone who is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said to him, How can these things be? Jesus answered and said to him, Are you the teacher of Israel and do not know these things? Most assuredly, I say to you, we speak what we know and testify what we have seen, and you do not receive our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you do not believe, how will you believe if I tell you heavenly things? No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man, who is in heaven. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. So Jesus here brings the plan of salvation. He clearly explains it to Nicodemus. But Jesus also gave us some reasons here why people reject the truth. What did he say? One is not believing. In verse 18, he who believes in him is not condemned. But he who does not believe is condemned already because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. So unbelief. Here Jesus was. Here he was, full of grace and truth. He was bringing everything in abundance. He was bringing God down to us, like in the flesh, that we could understand him. He was right there to talk with them, to answer their questions. He was right before them. And yet, they did not all receive him. And he said here that it was because of unbelief. It's only for those who believe. He who believes in him is not condemned. It takes belief. Another reason Jesus gave was that people love darkness. Verse 19, and this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. So evil is darkness, and because if we love our evil, if Jesus as this bright shining light comes and he shows us that we have darkness in our heart, and if I hold on to that darkness, or I love that darkness, I love that evil, that wrong thing in my heart, more than loving God, more than not willing to let go of that evil, that darkness, to accept God's light, I'm rejecting the truth. I'm in the same place of these people that Jesus was talking about. Loving darkness because their deeds are evil. Another thing he said was hating the light. And why did they hate the light? Because it exposes the evil. And verse 20, for everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And that's what's so beautiful. When there's something wrong, you know, there's something in us that just makes us want to hide it. It's a humanity problem. Why does the thief want to slip something into the pocket? Well, he doesn't want to be seen, right? It's in us to hide our wrongdoing. But Jesus says that's a reason why we reject the truth. Is if we hate the light of God that exposes our sin, that shines and shows us that this is wrong. And he says that the people who do the truth come to the light. He who does the truth comes to the light that his deeds may be clearly seen that they have been done in God. And that's the beautiful freedom that we can have when we do come to the light, when we bring our darkness, any sin, to the light and repent of it. Now we're free. And there's a freedom because it's in the light and we can allow God to wash us clean from that. And we don't need to be ashamed of our deeds. They can be right out in the light because they're done in God. They're right. Can turn over to John chapter 5. John chapter 5. After this, there was a feast of the Jews, and Jesus went up to Jerusalem. Now there is in Jerusalem by the sheep gate a pool, which is called in Hebrew Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of sick people, blind, lame, paralyzed, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain time into the pool and stirred up the water. Then whoever stepped in first after the stirring of the water was made well of whatever disease he had. Now a certain man was there who had an infirmity 38 years. When Jesus saw him lying there and knew that he had already been there in that condition a long time, he said to him, "Do you want to be made well?" The sick man answered him, "Sir, I have no one to put me into the pool when the water is stirred up. But while I am coming, another steps down before me." Jesus said to him, "Rise, take up your bed and walk." And immediately the man was made well, took up his bed, and walked. And that day was the Sabbath. The Jews therefore said to him, who was cured, "It is the Sabbath. It is not lawful for you to carry your bed." He answered them, "He who made me well said to me, 'Take up your bed and walk.'" Then they asked him, "Who is the man who said to you, 'Take up your bed and walk'?" But the one who was healed did not know who it was, for Jesus had withdrawn, a multitude being in that place. Afterward, Jesus found him in the temple and said to him, "See, you have been made well. Sin no more, lest a worse thing come upon you." The man departed and told the Jews that it was Jesus who had made him well. For this reason, the Jews persecuted Jesus and sought to kill him, because he had done these things on the Sabbath. But Jesus answered them, "My Father has been working until now, and I have been working." Therefore the Jews sought all the more to kill him, because he not only broke the Sabbath, but also said that God was his Father, making himself equal with God. Then Jesus answered and said to them, "Most assuredly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of himself but what he sees the Father do. For whatever he does, the Son also does in like manner. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all things that he himself does, and he will show him greater works than these, that you may marvel. For as the Father raises the dead and gives life to them, even so the Son gives life to whom he will. For the Father judges no one, but has committed all judgment to the Son, that all should honor the Son just as they honor the Father. He who does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent him. Most assuredly, I say to you, he who hears my words and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life. Most assuredly, I say to you, the hour is coming and now is when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son to have life in himself, and has given him authority to execute judgment also, because he is the Son of Man. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice, and come forth, those who have done good to the resurrection of life, and those who have done evil to the resurrection of condemnation. I can of myself do nothing. As I hear, I judge, and my judgment is righteous, because I do not seek my own will, but the will of the Father who sent me. If I bear witness of myself, my witness is not true. There is another who bears witness of me, and I know that the witness which he witnesses of me is true. You have sent to John, and he has borne witness to the truth. Yet I do not receive testimony from man, but I say these things that you may be saved. He was the burning and shining lamp, and you were willing for a time to rejoice in his light. But I have a greater witness than John's, for the works which the Father has given me to finish, the very works that I do, bear witness of me that the Father has sent me. And the Father himself who sent me has testified of me. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his form. But you do not have his word abiding in you, because whom he sent, him you do not believe. You search the scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life. And these are they which testify of me. But you are not willing to come to me that you may have life. I do not receive honor from men, but I know you, that you do not have the love of God in you. I have come in my Father's name, and you do not receive me. If another comes in his own name, him you will receive. How can you believe, who receive honor from one another, and do not seek the honor that comes from the only God? Do not think that I shall accuse you to the Father. There is one who accuses you, Moses, in whom you trust. For if you believed Moses, you would believe me, for he wrote about me. But if you do not believe his writings, how will you believe my words? So Jesus here very clearly, all this was done, again, right before them. Jesus was here, sharing truth with them and bringing life to them. And yet their hearts were hard. And he says here how they rejected the witness of John. You know, John was sent. Jesus was this great gift to us. But God even sent before him a forerunner, a man to go before and proclaim, you know, wake up, people. He was like, you know, the kingdom of heaven is at hand, John was saying. John said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. He went before Jesus, and you would think it would catch your attention, right? But he says they didn't. They had the witness of John, but they didn't hear him as well. Another thing that stood out to me was how they referred, John and Jesus referred back to prophecies in the Old Testament, to words of Isaiah. And you would think it would make you go look. So if he's referring back, you'd think it would make you go look. Now what? Why did he say this? You know, line it up with what happened back here, what Isaiah said. Jesus said his works are a testimony. His works that he does are a testimony that he's sent from God. It's a clear testimony. The scriptures, the words that they did have recorded, he said, you're searching through them. You're looking in them. But you're not getting it. You're not hearing what it's saying. He said, you believe in Moses. You believe in Moses. But Moses wrote about me, Jesus said. And so if you can't hear it from Moses, he said, you won't believe me as well. Maybe it's time for everybody to stand up a bit. I think we're getting sleepy today. Let's stand for a little. One more thing was in John chapter 9. We know the story here of the blind man. So Jesus heals the blind man. And He made the clay. We know the story how Jesus made the clay. He put it on his eyes. He told him to go wash, and he did that. And just to show us how hard and closed our hearts can be, they were even arguing whether this was the blind man. And the blind man, I'm sure they all walked by him every day, like he was. He was a given, right? He was there probably for a long time. And then when Jesus heals him, they're saying, oh, no, he's just like him. He's not, you know. But it just shows to us how closed our heart can be, how hard our heart can be if we don't want to accept, if we don't want to hear. And they had the, remember the story, I'm not going to read that whole chapter, but remember the story how Jesus healed that blind man, and then they're asking him all these questions about who healed you, you know, what, and they even get his parents out there to prove to them that, yes, this is your son, and yes, he was born blind. Like, they just couldn't accept that. And then when they do understand that, yes, this was their son, yes, he was born blind, yes, Jesus healed him, they cast him out. They cast him out of the synagogue because he was a testimony, a living testimony of this grace and truth of Jesus. And their last words to him says, and they answered and said to him, you were completely born in sins, and are you teaching us? And they cast him out. But it proves to us how hard and closed our hearts can become. If we love that darkness, if we want to carve out our own little existence of the way we want to operate, make our own rules, we can end up in the same place. You may be seated. In the end of the last verse of chapter 9, Jesus said, he's talking to the Pharisees, if you were blind, you would have no sin. But now you say, we see, therefore your sin remains. They were believing. They were blind in their hearts, but they were trying to believe. They were saying, we see. And he said, I can't help you. I can't help you in that place because that your heart is blind. It's hard. Can turn yet to John 12. John 12, verse 42. Nevertheless, even among the rulers, many believed in him. But because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praise of men more than the praise of God. Then Jesus cried out and said, he who believes in me believes not in me, but in him who sent me. And he who sees me sees him who sent me. I have come as a light into the world, that whoever believes in me should not abide in darkness. If anyone hears my words and does not believe, I do not judge him. For I did not come to judge the world, but to save the world. He who rejects me and does not receive my words has that which judges him. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. For I have not spoken on my own authority, but the Father who sent me gave me a command, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his command is everlasting life. Therefore, whatever I speak, just as the Father has told me, so I speak. Here Jesus said that he didn't come that first time. He said he wasn't there to judge people, to cut people off, to judge them. But he said that His word will judge us at the last day. The word that I have spoken will judge him in the last day. And, you know, I was like, what does that really mean for us today? But I believe, you know, we have God's word. And Jesus came with grace and truth. He came with so much love, so much compassion, so much grace. And we have here, we hold it in our hands, God's word. And what is it full of? It's full of grace and truth. It's full of the love of God. It tells us about God who loves you. It tells us about a God who cares for you, cares for all the needs in your life. It tells us that. It tells us of the great plan of salvation of Jesus and all that he gave to purchase us, to make a way for us to be right with God. It's all here. It's in this word. But it comes down. Why will this word judge us at the last day? It's because if I knew this word, if I hold it in my hand, if I have it right here, right before me, as Jesus walked right before these people, then I better be looking into it. I better be understanding what it says. Because it's God's love to us. And I can either choose to accept this. I can choose to line my life up with this word. I can choose to repent where this word shows me I'm wrong. Or I can be just as the people who were there in Jesus' day when grace and truth and abundance stood right before them, and they hardened their heart and they rejected it. They didn't hear it, they couldn't hear it because of their own making, their own things they were holding on to in their heart. Hebrews 2, verse 1 to 4 says, "Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord, and was confirmed to us by those who heard him, God also bearing witness both with his signs and wonders, with various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will." God bless you.